You're listening to a classic business podcast as heard on Classic 1027. 1027.
Well, we saw a tech-led rally pushing Wall Street higher today and Treasury yields extending their pullback from recent peaks. The Nasdaq sharply higher, while the S&P 500 up modestly. And over in Europe, stocks touched all-time highs on growing optimism about a global stimulus-driven economic revival. And that followed on from a good session in Asia. And we, sadly, weren't swept up in the momentum today. The All Share shedding a quarter of a percent to end the day at 66,990 points. Anthea Gardner, MD of Cartesian Capital, welcome. The Fed minutes accommodative as expected.
Good evening, Michael. Yes, very disappointing about the JSE, but as you say, the Fed minutes saying that they're still far from their targets or where they'd like to be, you know, so they're going to continue with this bond buying program. And I know there's a lot of talk in the market about how stimulus is going to create inflation, but if you look at the spending in the U.S. U.S. consumers have been overspending on goods but underspending on services. And so if you compare spending in the last year, you'll see that goods spending has increased by 8%, while services spending has fallen by 6%, with massive volatility in the middle. So there's clearly going to be an imbalance, firstly, in this jobs recovery. And so I think this concern about the runaway inflation that the market has been talking about for, I don't know, a month almost now. It feels a bit silly to me, actually. So despite nice job creation numbers coming through as well, we saw last week, I think it's still too erratic, and the Fed probably are going with this, and that's kind of their base of thinking, I would say.
Yeah, that's certainly the view of Scott Minard at Guggenheim as well, one of the bond kings, who reckons that the bond yield spike will start to ease off quite significantly into next year. The other big story in the market continues to be NASPERS, and there's a headline here on ShareNet that says, NASPERS investors want big deals, share buyback after 10 cent windfall. I don't know who those investors are. I don't think investors want big deals. They want well-executed deals at good and fair prices. Very hard to do that when you're walking around with a 218 billion rand war chest. People see you coming, they force you to overpay. And secondly, yes, I want buybacks, but really what I want is an unbundled 10 cent. Give me that. I don't want all of this other stuff.
Really? Is that what you want? Yes. It's interesting because that whole wrapping up of the 10 cents reduction in the 10 cent stake is another $15 billion of value. And it is interesting to see what Prosus is doing. They're diverting their capital to delivery, online delivery services and payment solutions. So, yes, they keep doing these deals. You know, the new one being the Norwegian e-grocery business. And then just kind of that added on top of, remember, Delivery Hero, which they increased their stake in, although they said they weren't going to move it any much further. iFood, which is the South American business, and Swiggy. So all these kind of online grocery delivery businesses is where Prosus is really focusing. And I've got a fantastic story about this. I'm watching it with absolute intrigue because I was lucky enough in the late 90s, early 2000s, to work for a company in London that had an office in San Francisco. And I discovered a company called Webvan, which hardly anybody knows anymore. And they were a grocery retailer, and they were around kind of, they started in 96. And so when I went there, I didn't have a car, and I thought, oh, that's the answer to kind of everybody's problems in San Francisco. Nobody wants to walk up the streets with heavy grocery bags, right? And then in 1999, this business listed, this Webvan business listed, after getting $400 million from big private equity businesses like Sequoia, SoftBank, Goldman Sachs.
Well, a tech business listing in 1999, what could go wrong, Anthea?
Well, let me tell you, Michael, because on the first day they listed at 15 rand. The share was up 65%. That's after it had gone up from 15 to $34, not rand, sorry, dollars. At some stage, this business was valued at $10 billion. 3 years later, it was non-existent. I mean, the worst part of the story is I remember thinking, what a fantastic business, online grocery delivery. And then Amazon at the same time was selling books online, but my favorite thing to do was sit in Seattle in a bookstore, was surrounded by books, and who was ever going to buy an online book? I mean, I couldn't possibly have been more wrong.
So, you just picked
the
wrong
one. And it's timing, you know. Yeah. And Amazon did the same thing. Like about 7 or 8 years ago, bought, what was theirs called? Amazon Fresh, right? So same story, online grocery delivery.
It does seem to be taking it off now. But I think a point I will make is that LastPass's operating assets are producing returns below the cost of capital. And in fact, if you look at operating profit, it has been and remains negative. And a significant reason for the discount is that LastPass and Prosus is investing and reinvesting money that it's getting through its investment in Tencent in value-destroying endeavors. Now, they're value-destroying now, management might tell you, Bob van Dijk will tell you that these are going to be value accretive in the future. But the market doesn't believe that. I think the market and the discount is saying that, no, Mr. van Dijk, we feel that this is poor capital allocation.
I think you've hit the nail on the head. The market is talking, and the market's been speaking for a long time, right? They've been crying out for this for a long time.
Yeah.
And at some stage, you have to wonder when it all falls apart, or how badly it falls, I should say, not falls apart. I think they've got a fairly large task ahead of them.
A lot of questioning around timing, because some feel that the Tencent stake could have risen quite a lot more over the next few quarters. So one wonders whether or not there's a deal on the horizon, that they had to do it now. But if you just look at the market cap, 154 billion euro, 2.7 trillion rand, it means that not only does it trade at a discount to the value of its Tencent stake, investors assign a negative valuation to a lot of the other investments, 45 other companies, Delivery Hero, Mail.ru, lots of questions there. We'll certainly be looking to get Bob van Dijk on the show to put some of those to him as well. Another big story in the market today, I don't know if you saw this crypto exchange, ICE 3X. And I think it's caveat emptor when it comes to these things. There are reputable, legitimate exchanges out there, and I think of the likes of Valar, Luno. If you do your due diligence on these, you find that they actually operate in real offices. Now, with ICE, we cross-reference the registered office address for this crypto exchange with Google Maps and Street View, and unless a nursery school is renting out office space, this thing just stinks to high heaven, Anthea.
Yeah, very, very odd situation, but... And Michael, I think crypto has always been a question mark around it from the beginning. For me, it wasn't about the cryptocurrency. I actually wasn't really interested in crypto. I was interested in blockchain and the ledger. And that's where the magic lies. So for this to happen is a little bit peculiar. And I feel like because these crypto exchanges, as they're calling themselves, and they're popping up all over the place, and the number of emails I get monthly of people asking me if I would like to start some sort of crypto-based investment solution is ridiculous, quite frankly. And you'd think that this blockchain ledger should secure people's investments in the crypto. And the question was going to be, which crypto is going to survive? There were so many. And it's proving that, obviously, now Bitcoin, Ethereum are kind of going to be the favorite ones, right? And we did one, my analyst did a ridiculous thing a couple of years ago. They bought something called Crypto Kitties, and it's a game centered around breeding, collecting crypto kitties, like online cats. And the tagline was, it's one of a kind, 100% owned by you, it cannot be replicated, taken away, or destroyed. I mean, that's just Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
But they've called it Crypto Kitties. And of course, the analysts knew that they were throwing their money away, but they were having a silly laugh. Of course, management had to then rethink their bonuses. So I think it doesn't take much to look, just to have a look at which ones work. And you've already mentioned some. There's also eToro. And then the companies like Ripple Labs and what they're on, Finesoft. I think there is something in it, and they will survive. There's too much marketing and dangerous behavior, I want to call it. Not investment behavior.
It's certainly a lesson for investors to do their due diligence and remember when you're dealing with these things, caveat emptor. Anthea Gardner, MD of Cartesian Capital, with your view from the market.